Historian and also a pop culture enthusiast. So it's a very interesting article or presentation on the Astrodome here in Houston. So David, looking forward to it. Here we go.
Thank you. Have a hand for Bill. He's a Houstonian, and you know, he just told me he saw Billie Jean King beat Bobby Riggs at the Astrodome, so maybe he should give that portion of the presentation. I thought it was appropriate to split the presentation up into three subjects. But first, what I'd like to do, since we are talking about a retro subject, I'm going to put on the classic Houston Astros hat, if you don't mind, for the topic. And I went on eBay to do some research. I found this promotional magazine that some of you may remember. I'm going to hand it around, or hand it to this gentleman, pass it around. I'm going to need it back. The Astrodome, as you know, was really finished in 1965. And what I would like to do for the next 20 minutes is talk about entertainment, sports, and society. But what I first want to do is split you up into informal groups of two or three or five or however much you want, and talk for a couple of minutes to yourselves about what you think is the most historic sports moment in sports history. Now, it could be the first Super Bowl. It could be the first televised World Series in 1939. It could be the 1958 NFL Championship football game that elevated football into the television age. It could be anything that you think is important. I'm going to select a couple of people to just, you know, hear what you have to say. So split yourselves up for 2 minutes, just 2 minutes. I'll clock you and go. Just talk to your neighbors, talk to yourselves. All right, that's 2 minutes. So just a couple of volunteers. Don't make me select anyone, but I'll select anyone. Are there any volunteers? Go. There are no Canadians involved in this discussion. Thank you. No, okay. I should have said American Sports History Month. I'm sorry, go ahead. I did not say that. ...97% of the country was watching that game. That's almost as many people that were watching the O.J. Simpson Bronco chase 20 years ago. Just letting you know. I see an Orioles fan. I went to school at Maryland College Park. I got a call on you. The Bobby Thompson home run.
Jackie Robinson steps off the field for his first baseball.
1947, April 15th. One more? Farewell speech. All great answers. I want to talk about the Billie Jean King Bobby Riggs match and why I think that was important, but I'm going to do that in a couple of minutes. Entertainment. Who here is from Houston? Who here saw the movie The Bad News Bears and Breaking Training? You're from Houston and you didn't see that movie? Oh my God. I watched that movie religiously. It is much more of a mainstream movie than the predecessor. Because the predecessor, if you remember, in 1976, had kids cursing, using what I would consider bigoted remarks. You had them drinking beer at the age of 12. You had Walter Matthau in his usual disgruntled, grumpy old man role. He's gone after the first movie. And they get this guy named Dolph Sweet to play the coach for the second movie. He lasts about a minute and a half. If you don't know the name, you might remember him as the father from Give Me a Break with Nell Carter. So the kids boot him from the team, and they get a gardener, a groundskeeper, who can barely speak five words of English. And they get him to be a stooge, because the parents aren't going to let them go to the Astrodome, you know, without adult supervision. So they gather at a home. He says, hello, how are you? Jack Earl Haley and the kids get in the van, and they travel to Houston. Why Houston? Why the Astrodome? They could have picked Yankee Stadium for the movie. They could have picked Fenway Park for the movie. They could have picked Wrigley Field for the movie. All historic places. There's a film element to this. Cinematographers go nuts on film locations because of the daylight. They're running out of the light. And this is 1977. They didn't have the technology we have today. So those three iconic stadiums are probably out of the question, especially the East Coast ones, because you could buy a group of kids, 14 years old, traveling across the country for 3 days. I don't think that moviegoers would buy it for 7 or 8 days, even to Chicago. Also, in the Astrodome, it's air-conditioned, it's controlled, the cinematographers could get the right shot. And at that time, in 1977, the Astrodome was really only around for about a dozen years. It was still fairly new. It was still cutting edge. You said Astrodome, there was a certain grandeur about it. The same way that Madison Square Garden had a grandeur about it, whether it was the first incarnation, the second incarnation, or now the third incarnation. And for those of you who have never been to New York, quick aside, I'm from New Jersey, that's not the aside. Madison Square Garden is nowhere near Madison Square. It is nowhere near Madison Square. It is on Penn Station. If you go on the internet and you see pictures of the old Penn Station that MSG basically demolished, you will say, this is ridiculous. What a great piece of art. Grand Central was rebuilt, or renovated rather, after that. So you have the Astrodome representing what? You know, the pinnacle of popular culture. You have one of the biggest movie franchises for kids. It's coming right on the heels of this groundbreaking movie. In the movie Breaking Training, they win the game. They didn't win the game in the original movie. Now, they could have picked Dodger Stadium. A lot of Hollywood movies were filmed at Dodger Stadium. A lot of 1960s television shows were filmed at Dodger Stadium, but they were scenes. And Wrigley Field in L.A. was also used as a for Homeborn Derby. If anyone remembers that one season that it was on and then was rerun on ESPN like 20 years ago over and over. Anybody remember the Munsters when Herman Munster tried out for the Dodgers, right? And the Beverly Hillbillies. Wrigley Field in L.A. was used quite frequently. But still, to have kids from the San Fernando Valley go to Dodger Stadium doesn't have that conflict. The conflict is, how do they get to Houston? And when Jackie Earl Haley looks out his hotel room, he peels back the drapes, and the Astrodome is in the background, and it's almost like this mythical thing, this colossus, almost like we're in Greece. He's looking at it with such reverence. So I think that the Astrodome, in that sense, is very important for pop culture in terms of the entertainment value. In terms of the sports value, Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs obviously was a huge phenomenon. It was a huge phenomenon, and this is where the sports comes into play. It was a spectacle, right? It was a 28-year-old woman going against a 63-year-old man, and people might say, well, of course she was going to win. What people forget is that a few months before, he beat Margaret Court, and she was the top tennis player on the women's circuit. Now, maybe he got inside her head, and maybe she couldn't handle the pressure, but that doesn't matter. What matters is whether you perform on the court, and he performed better. He outperformed her. It was very important for that match to take place at the Astrodome. Where else could it have taken place? Where else could it have been made the spectacle that it was? They couldn't do it at Wimbledon. That wouldn't be even feasible. They could do it at Yankee Stadium. They could do it at Dodger Stadium. They could do it at an indoor court like Madison Square Garden. That's the only other one that I can think of that even comes close to the grandeur of the Astrodome. We're talking about 1973. MSG, the third incarnation, the one that now stands, was only built in the mid-60s. So it still had that kind of flavor. It no longer does because it's outdated. It's been renovated. You know, the Prudential, which is in Newark, where the Nets used to play before they went to Brooklyn, you know, far and away is a cutting-edge arena. So from my perspective, when I was reading about this and I was, you know, looking at YouTube and I was going on, you know, going to databases and going through Billie Jean King's books and, you know, seeing what she had to say about it, it was very much a time when the Astrodome was a character. It was a character in that play. It was a character in that story. It could not have taken place anywhere else. And it's not because of the lighting, and it's not because of, you know, the cinematography or the travel or anything else. It could not have taken place at Wimbledon, at Forest Hills. It wouldn't have had the same impact. And in terms of sports, I believe that that's when sports became a spectacle. At that moment, in September of 1973, that was the true definition of sports as a spectacle. After that, everything was bigger. If you watch the Super Bowl, there are photos of the first Super Bowl when the captains go out onto the field. There are about 8 people, and 4 of them are referees. 2 are from one team, 2 are from another team. Have you watched the Super Bowl lately? The kickoff itself takes about 23 minutes, and it's sponsored. And the captains have to shake hands. And the referee has to do this whole introduction about the coin toss. It is built for television. Muhammad Ali, who was Cassius Clay, for those of you old enough to remember, and for those of you young enough not to know, Cassius Clay was a fighter. He said he's not going to Vietnam. He was, I think, banned or suspended by the powers that be in boxing, changed his name to Muhammad Ali. And those fights and his relationship with Howard Cosell was legendary. It was more legendary in some cases than the fights. Anyone in this room who is old enough to remember Muhammad Ali in his prime, do you know when he beat a certain opponent? I guarantee no one in this room can tell me the date. But everyone in this room who was alive back then knows that he had that relationship with Cosell. They built upon each other. There's no Muhammad Ali without Cosell. There's no Cosell without Muhammad Ali. It came because of the Billie Jean King, Bobby Riggs spectacle. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I really don't mean that in a bad way. What I mean is everything became enlarged. Remember, does anyone remember the sponsor that Bobby Riggs had? Sugar Daddy. A perfectly named sponsor for Bobby Riggs. Perfectly named. He got loads of money. I know there are rumors that he threw the match because he was in debt. Why would he have done that? He had this huge endorsement for years. Why would he risk that? Why would he risk it even being found out? Sugar Daddy, what athlete do you know that brings a sponsor onto the field? I don't even think they're allowed to. And I don't think tennis, except for when they, you know, they wear Nike or they wear Reebok or whatever they wear, they don't really make a big deal of it. I mean, now they're kind of like billboards, right? But that started with Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs. There's no way that the sponsorships elevate after that. Now, to be sure, there were sponsors having deals with athletes before then. You can go on eBay and you could buy advertisements. Babe Ruth sponsored, Lou Gehrig sponsored, Ted Williams sponsored, some of them sponsored cigarettes. A lot of them sponsored cigarettes. A lot of entertainers sponsored cigarettes. I'm a Phil Silvers fan, Sergeant Bilko. There was a whole string of Sergeant Bilko advertisements in the magazines. If you go on, it's tough to find, but if you go on YouTube, you can see commercials right up to the 60s where the characters, not the actors, but the characters were smoking. Lucy and Ricky, Dick Van Dyke, even the Flintstones were smoking and plugging cigarettes. So Bobby Riggs, who said the Sugar Daddy thing? Did you find that odd? Did you find it fitting? Or did it was just, you know, it just was? Just was. Perfectly aptly named. Billie Jean King comes into the Astrodome. Some hunks are bringing her in like she's Cleopatra on some makeshift bed, raft, cage, whatever you want to call it. Bobby Riggs has the beautiful women, right? Does anyone remember The Odd Couple? Not the play, but the movie. We'll get questions. And then the TV show with Tony Randall. Do you remember the Bobby Riggs appearance? Bobby Riggs plays himself. He was giving a wonderful performance. It's my belief that athletes are great actors because they're coachable. A lot of actors are not coachable. They don't take direction very well. The good ones do. Tom Hanks once said, "I want a director who's a fan, who's going to bring me to my best." He said that on the Charlie Rose Show. Bobby Riggs plays himself. He's a chauvinist pig. The whole episode takes place after the Astrodome Battle of the Sexes. And Bobby Riggs bets Oscar Madison, played by Jack Klugman, that he can't spell his name on the typewriter. And if he does, Felix will be his slave. Oscar says, "This is ridiculous. I've been typing my name for 40 years. He types Oscar Matisoy, not Madison. And Murray, the cop, says, "If you were Chinese, you would have won." So they devised this bet where Bobby has to play Billie Jean King. And Felix wears a sandwich board with Billie Jean King's photo, and Bobby Riggs kind of dismisses it. It's a great moment in pop culture, but it wouldn't have happened if the match hadn't happened in the Astrodome. If it happened in Yankee Stadium, maybe. If it happened in Madison Square Garden, maybe. But the Astrodome lent it a grandeur that never would have happened. I think 30,000 people, well, you were there, it was about 30,000 people? More than that? Highest attendance ever for a tennis match. Tennis wasn't a mainstream event back then. This was not a tennis match. This was a match between a man and a woman. It could have been golf. It could have been, you know, any singular sport. But it was taking place at a place that was iconic and, again, still relatively new. I think when we talk about the Astrodome, it's important also to put the time in context. What was the country like in the mid-60s? It was a time of progress. Does anyone know what happened this week in terms of the space program? Earlier this week in 1958, President Eisenhower signed the NASA Act into law because the Russians had launched Sputnik a few months earlier. And LBJ, who was the Senate Majority Leader, and Ike got together and they said, we got to get in on this thing. We have to elevate. We got to do something splashy. And in 1958, NASA was born. In 1961, Alan Shepard goes up in space. 1962, John Glenn becomes the first American to orbit the Earth. 1965, Ed White becomes the first American astronaut to do a spacewalk outside the capsule, outside the spacecraft. That's progress. That's American progress. If you go to the 60s and you open up a newspaper or you go to the database and you punch in, nowadays you can do that on a database called ProQuest, almost every day there was something about NASA. What better place to put a new stadium than Houston? We did have the Colt 45s here. We did have a stadium here. I understand from my reading that it was filled with mosquitoes. It was not a pleasant place to watch a ball game. America was looking to the future. What's more futuristic than a dome in America's hottest city, a city that someone once told me is the air conditioning capital of the world, or at least it was? What better place to put a new futuristic stadium? Not Chicago, not Minneapolis, not even Dallas. I know there are Houston people here, and they don't like Dallas too much, so I'm not going to say that word again. But the home of the astronauts. This was the home of the space program. It had to be here. There's nowhere else it could be. Where else could it be? Walter O'Malley in Brooklyn wanted to put a stadium where the Barclays Center now is. Now, maybe that would have kept the Dodgers in Brooklyn. I don't know, despite the Dodgers and despite the fact that I'm writing a book about the Dodgers, I don't think it would have the same import. Houston was not on the map before 1965, not really. I mean, Bill, you can attest to that. It was up and coming, but it was not like Dallas. It was not like Chicago, certainly. It was a city waiting for something. And the Astrodome brought all of this attention to it. Side note, does anyone know who hit the first home run in the Astrodome? Wow, you guys are good. The Astrodome represents to me this American icon, and I'm so upset that now it's in this political fight and no one seems to know what to do with it. It is on the National Register of Historic Places. To my surprise, that does not mean that it can't be torn down. I thought when something's on the National Register, you're good to go. That's not what it means. It just means you're on the register. I hope that the city figures out what to do with it. I hope it doesn't go off gently into the good night. I produced a conference last year in Houston about facades. I was working for a conference company at the time. Now I'm a writer and producer at MSNBC. I returned to my TV news roots. And for more about my biography, you can go to davidkrell.com. Just a short side note. Wow, these guys are a rough room. It must be late in the day. So I'm producing this facades conference, all about building facades, and would you use brick or glass, or, you know, how do you protect against snow and sand and blah, blah, blah. And one guy works for the county. He works for the Reliant Park folks. And he said, we go through the Astrodome twice a year for the electrical check to make sure the place doesn't catch fire. So that's it? No tours? No. He's like, no, there's nothing. There are no offices. You know, there's a couple of things here and there, but it's really, it's vacant. And when I say vacant, I mean vacant. Nobody is using this. And I don't know where my program is, but you'll see in the program, Eighth Wonder of the World. Now, I had heard that, but if you thumb through the program, there are actual drawings of the Colosseum and the other six wonders of the world with the Astrodome right there. So they really did promote this. It was more than a slogan. So we talked about entertainment, we talked about sports, and how it really launched American sports. I see my Canada friend has left. Sorry, Canada. And we talked about how it really elevated. It was a television presence. It was on ABC, which at that time was really the home of the extreme sports. I mean, we have more extreme sports today, but that was the home of Evel Knievel, who also jumped over a record number of cars in the Astrodome, home of Wide World of Sports, home of the Olympics that somebody had mentioned. So it was relevant and I think proper that would happen, and that it would have to be Howard Cosell talking about it. Howard Cosell also negated Billie Jean King in a way. I guess it was standard then. I don't know if it's standard now. Do I have 5 minutes? Okay, so I just wrapped this up. Howard Cosell said something about Billie Jean King. You know, she would look like a movie star if she took her glasses off and let her hair grow down to her shoulders. I can't imagine that would happen today. So very quickly, we talked about entertainment, talked about sports, society. I think the Astrodome is indicative of American progress in the 60s. I think it's indicative of American progress today. I hope, if there are any Houstonians in the room, my prayers are with you. I hope that it does not get torn down. So that's my presentation, and Bill will moderate Q&A.
There's a microphone over here. That's probably the best way to go to ask a question. Line up behind the microphone.
If not, then it's time for happy hour. No questions? Go ahead.
Well, how did the impact of the, I think that the time of the greatest college basketball
was that was certainly, but if you're when you're talking about Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs, you're talking about the feminism wave was really only 5 years old, 6 years old. And it wasn't, that was a sporting match that, you know, I think that could have taken place in other areas. I don't think that was a spectacle. My thesis is that you're talking about a spectacle. You're talking about something that had to be bigger than life. And the UCLA-Houston game could have taken place in a stadium. I know there are stadiums that did hold basketball games. Now we have hockey in stadiums. I mean, that blows my mind. Whoever is the NHL marketing genius that came up with that, ice hockey in an outdoor, people are going to pay to sit outside and watch ice hockey? Football, yeah, but ice hockey? That's crazy to me. So I take your point. I just think that, you know, when you're talking about a larger-than-life event, it really was the Billie Jean King, Bobby Riggs event. And they both, and she, you know, no one really knows. I can't tell you what she did after that. I don't know what her record was. I don't know what her ranking was. I just know she was this iconic figure, and now she's on NBC. You know, we know what happened in her personal life a few years later. Bobby Riggs, the legend goes, you know, he was sick. He was dying. He didn't want her to see him. And they exchanged I love yous, and he said to her, "We really made a difference." And we did. We had the WNBA, Title IX. We have a lot of things that we didn't have then. And again, at the risk of repetition, the Astrodome was a character in that event.
I actually wrote the article in the National Past Contest about a real similar subject that just came out. And really what got my interest was Bad News Bears Breaking Training. I was watching it last year because I'm a man in my mid-30s, and that's what we did when we were home. And,
really?
I just got
that's what...
yes. But what really got me was the tagline is Houston Astrodome.
Or bust, right.
And then it got me asking people, and I'm sort of curious about your perspective and really just the room. I started asking my friends, and we were, more of us were aware of the Houston Astrodome before we were the Astros or the Oilers. And none of us, not even sports fans, could think of another stadium that we were more aware of than the actual teams that played in them.
Right.
Well, you know, I grew up in the 70s. I was born in 67, and yeah, the Astrodome was it. I mean, it was this mythical structure where things took place, and all I ever wanted to do after seeing that movie was to see a game at the Astrodome. And domes didn't really come into vogue until the 80s, right? You had the Silver Dome, the Metrodome, the King Dome. And you know, they're all kind of, you know, the King Dome certainly is torn down. I think the Superdome still exists. But, it was marketed as such. No other facility was really marketed, whether intentionally or unintentionally, like the Astrodome. And you could take Fenway Park and Wrigley Field and Yankee Stadium and Dodger Stadium and other iconic places that really might not need the marketing, but it didn't have the same newness. Yankee Stadium was around since the 20s. Fenway Park and Wrigley Field were around since the 1910s. The Astrodome in the 70s was still pretty cutting edge. It was still fairly new, especially to the rest of America. And, you know, I knew who the Oilers were, and I knew who the Astros were, but I knew where they played. I didn't really know where... I didn't know where the White Sox played. I would have to look it up. Oh, yeah, Comiskey Park, the White Sox. Yeah, the Tigers play. Where do they play? Oh, right, Tiger Stadium. Oh, yeah. But the Astrodome, I mean, you just knew because it wasn't just for the Astros or the Oilers. Elvis played there. David Cassidy, who was the biggest star of the early 70s because of the Partridge Family, he played there. Murphy Brown... Well, this will be. We're getting close on time. All right, I'll wrap this up. Murphy Brown was a show that debuted in 1988, starring Candace Bergen, and she played a network newswoman, like a Barbara Walters or a Diane Sawyer. Well, everybody remember Andrew Dice Clay, right? Politically incorrect. He really came into vogue when the political correctness on the college campuses came into vogue. Everybody needs an opponent. Well, Michael Chiklis, you know him from The Shield, he played an Andrew Dice Clay-like character. And Murphy Brown was going to get him on her show, FYI. That was the name of the show. She was going to get him. She was going to nail him. And he comes on as this very well-dressed, well-spoken, intelligent man. And freedom of speech and blah, blah this and blah, blah that. And my fans like it. I'm putting bread on my family's table, and if you don't like it, you don't have to buy a ticket, you know. And then he says, I sold out 2 shows at the Astrodome. I remember that. That episode happened 25 years ago. it still resonates. Now, if he had said another stadium, I guarantee I wouldn't be remembering it. I guarantee it. But when he said Astrodome, oh, that's the indoor place. That's the first indoor place. That's where the Astros play. Okay, that's my time. Thank you. If you're going to the Skeeters game, I'll see you there. Thanks.